You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Okay, if not, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
I was just looking at the last verse in that, away in a manger. It says, thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Now that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Because I wonder whether they really have thought this through in light of their own teaching, you know, the people who came up with this. Because I don't know that they really understood much of right division. And to get the true clear teaching of our hope, which is in the heavenly places, you have to rightly divide. There's no way you can get a clear teaching of the fulfillment of our hope in the heavenly places unless you understand Paul's prison ministry. Until that becomes clear, you're going to get a lot of contradictions in terms of hopes. And I think that's a good thing to think about. Now, we are moving through. See, I've got a computer down here, and now I've got this one. We've been moving through our study, and we're up to part 18. And this really is a great study because it moves us into the realm of wisdom. And wisdom literature, wisdom that we should all have as people on this world who have been created. The word maker comes up in the chapter that we're going to study. And so I think we need to consider these things very carefully. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together that we can open the scriptures and read and understand the deep things of thy word. We ask, Lord, you'd anoint our minds and spirits that we could understand more clearly these things. We pray for the country, Lord, especially at this time, that we'd see leaders raised up that consider all the time thy holy word in the decisions they make. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so we, last time we looked at the chapter 16, and I was pointing out the fact that in chapter 16, it talks about our personal confidence in God, and of course, I say our. Mainly because a lot of the doctrines and teachings in Proverbs, they relate to general principles that go to people that have responsibility. And anyone that has responsibility can learn a lot concerning wisdom and how to interact with people in the light of God's word. So this chapter 16 that we studied last time has to do with our confidence in God. And I showed how that in chapter 16, and see if I can use the pointer correctly. So here's chapter 16. I color-coded this so that the highest would come out in these yellows and then the lower frequencies would come out in a more dark color, dark black and brown. But here you notice that chapter 16, it gives you the highest density of the word the Lord, Yahweh. However we pronounce it, it's hard to know how to pronounce it because we don't know what the vowels actually are. But here it is, the Tetragrammaton. And you notice it's chapter 16 where this has the highest density. And so I'm kind of interested in that. And coming down here, notice how the word Lord is used through there. And then I mentioned this idea about how God interacts in our lives. And for the longest time, I considered how God interacted in our lives. I know that when the Lord left this world, he he left the Holy Spirit, and the thing about that doctrine was that he would remain, that the Spirit would remain. And so I understand, of course, that the Spirit is with us, and it continues to be with us. But the question is, how does God interact in the process of our living in our day-to-day lives? If you look back in time, you can see incidences when God would interact with people. Not only the nation of Israel, but especially, of course, but other nations and other personages in the Old Testament scriptures where God would at times make a real personal contact with people. And I guess to a large extent, that's how I saw things continue. That yes, the Spirit's with us, but how does the Spirit or how does God interact with our lives? Generally speaking, he's got laws that he put in place, and those laws work. And from day to day, those laws work in our lives. And that from time to time, when we pray and we have a real difficulty, perhaps God moves into our lives in a very special way. Well, that occurs. But what has become more and more plain to me is that, in fact, it's more like the second picture here, that God is continuously coming to us in our lives. And the fact that we may not recognize that is simply because of our spiritual darkness and our own scales that we have on our eyes. But if you look carefully, you will see God in your personal life working. And we've got certainly incidences in our lives where it's markedly so. But I would like to point out that that is not evidence of this, but just that our scales have come from our eyes and we see that which is continuous. Okay, so let's move on. So the spirit, of course, of man is so important. And how we come to God in this time is very important as we read the scriptures and we become encouraged that even when bad things happen in our lives, with the right spirit, with the right attitude of mind and heart, so we can see through these things and be encouraged. At the moment, I'm reading a book, and it's called The Tales of Toikima. Now, this relates to something that happened in history when the Leninists and the Stalinists and everyone else to do with communism took over in the Soviet era. And they used Siberia as a place to basically get rid of the unmentionables and the people that were undesirables, the politically incorrect people that they didn't like. They would take them to the northeastern end of Siberia. And this was so secluded that there was no roads going in there. No roads. You couldn't get there any other way than getting a boat and going to the coast and then from the coast inland. And they would drive these poor people inland through the most atrocious weather. Thousands upon thousands of these people were worked to death. Roads were made out of their bones, literally. It's just atrocious. We always think of Adolf Hitler, what a terrible man, what a terrible thing. And he did terrible, terrible things. It pales to almost insignificance what the communists did. And why am I talking about this? I'm talking about the spirit of many of those people that died and how they could survive. One of them survived for 17 years there. How? How could you survive under those terrible conditions? And yet he had great spirits and was able to write down by hand these tales, stories of what happened there. Spirit of man. And with God, you can be surprised how much you can achieve. Well, I'm not going to talk too much about this now. I'm going to move on to the things of today. And we're into chapter 17, which has to do with the contentment and peace. Personal contentment and peace. It's a great chapter. You need to read it all. I won't be able to read it all to you today. But that's what it's about. And it is magnificent. It is really magnificent. So let's just open up to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. And it says this in chapter 17, better is a dry morsel, like a piece of bread. You know, these poor people in Tocoima, where they would live on a little bit of bread, and they'd say, you know, that this little bit of bread would give them enough energy for about an hour's work, and then after that they were just gone, and they would just be going through the motions, and these slavers that were over them would make them work not by the hour but by the completion of the task. And if the task wasn't completed, you don't go back. But they've got no more energy, and they are whipped into submission, and they keep going until the task is completed. Just horrendous. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. We all know the truth of that, right? And you can imagine that people who had lots of money, they could afford these big animals to sacrifice. And some of the animals could be used later on for eating. Not all sacrifices would go to the Levites. And a house full of sacrifices with strife. Strife destroys the peace of a household. And in the end, it actually destroys your body. You cannot live health-wise with strife. It will start to affect the health of your body. In fact, later on, it talks about that, you know, laughter doeth good like a medicine. It's the opposite of strife. You know, you need joy. You need laughter. And you can have all those things when you consider what God has done for you. When you especially understand the hope that has been bought for you. You can have joy. And even in the face of death, yes, you can have joy. You can have loved ones pass away, friends and relatives. And with the knowledge of salvation, yes, you can have a smile on your face even under those circumstances. It's possible. My dad is a great example of that. A tremendous example. My dad and I used to take services together. Funerals, and we would always talk to the family involved, and because they would ask us, well, could you take the service? And we would always tell them, well, you understand that we will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will preach this, right? And some of them would not be too pleased, and they might hum and ha, and say, well, it's okay, you can get someone else. You know, we make it quite plain, and we always would preach the gospel. The time came, of course, that my sister passed away. She died. And we felt that we needed to take that service. And I'll tell you something, it's the hardest thing I've ever been involved with. You know, it's a very hard thing to keep your emotions away and to try and preach that which the audience needs to hear. And we did that. My dad was always so good with being able to control those emotions and see the importance of the ministry and to put that before all. And it's a great thing. While we're talking about this, I can say there was another service that I took in which there were people in the audience who were mad with me. I can tell they were angry, man. They did not want to hear anything about resurrection and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were... And the only thing that was stopping them from, you know, coming on me and biting on me was the fact that it was a funeral. So there had to be a certain amount of decorum. But they were angry, man. The funny thing about that is that after the service, I had more people coming to me and saying things concerning the scriptures relating to their own personal encouragement that came from the ministry at the funeral. So this is a tremendous passage in verse 2. It says, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame. Just think about this. A wise servant. So a servant obviously is not on the same status as family members. But listen to this. A wise servant shall have rule over a son. Over a son that causeth shame. And shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The brethren mean coming out of the same womb. That's what it means, coming of the same womb. So here you get this most amazing idea that this servant who is wise, not only does he get some of the inheritance which would go normally to a son, but he distributes the inheritance. He rules. He distributes it. It's an amazing idea, isn't it? That we need to recognize wise people. They need to have prominence and responsibility. If you just go back here, well, I won't keep going back because we're going to run out of time. So let's keep going forward. And it says this in verse 3, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. A real trial, you know, the furnace, the pot, what it does, it separates the dross, the impurities, and through this process you get all the bad stuff separated off from that which is pure. This pure silver, the pure gold. But God is the one who really does this. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. What is this saying? This is saying something quite remarkable, I think. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to liars. A liar will listen to lies. Isn't that interesting? That's a rule, friends. Mark it down. A liar will listen to lies. I didn't realize that before, reading this carefully. Verse 5, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, the creator. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. You know, there are people around who are just like that. They love a calamity and they like to take advantage of it. How many times has it happened in your life? And I could probably write them down in mine, where you see someone very happy at your misfortune. They want to see it happen, man. Now, how you react to that person is another matter. Right? That's another matter. But you're going to have to be wise with your tongue, and you're going to have to be careful with your steps. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. A lot of people want to do that, and I have to confess at times I think I've been amongst those who want to keep blaming the poor for their situation. Right? And it may be that the poor have got themselves into this situation through their own mistakes. But you know, there's a lot of people in this world, man, they're only one wage packet away from being destitute. And that's how they're living their lives. Maybe through no fault of their own, they're in that situation. Have you seen the Bay Area in San Francisco? Have you seen that? Well, we're going to see it up close soon because we're going there. But it's ridiculous, man. The number of people now who are homeless. Chicago, it's up 12%. And now with the border, the way the border is, we're going to see more and more of this. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. Got to be careful with this. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men. This is beautiful, isn't it? Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. Now think about the consequence of that statement. The fact that we have a fatherless generation coming up. Now without those fathers there to give the correct instruction and example, there is no glory there for these children. And they are wayward, man. They are wayward. They will become lawbreakers. They will become people destitute. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. It goes the other way around, right? When you are a fool and you're actively pursuing foolishness, you can try and provide an excellent speech, but no, it's not going to fool anybody. You can put on airs, you can pretend, but we know what you are. That's the reality. And what you have to do is, you have to do just as the scriptures say, you must study to be quiet. You must get involved with understanding God's word, rightly dividing the word of truth, getting wisdom as much as is possible in your lifetime, and being a good example in it. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Now, this is kind of interesting. Again, I'm just looking at the wrong things. Okay, this is where we're up to. Look at this. When I first read this, I scratched my head a bit, but I must be honest. I scratched my head about this one. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Now, this word prosper sort of means something like sparkles. And the gift, look down here. In chapter 17, there's only two places where gift is used. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. We've seen this. We see it today a lot, don't we? Yeah. If you do this, yeah, I'll give you that. It's a bribe. It's a bribe. A gift, a bribe, is as precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. It's a precious stone. Whithersoever it turneth, it sparkles in that direction, right? It sparkles. They are fooled by it. They take the bribe, and wherever it directs them, that's the direction they go. And they'll be sucked in by it. And just coming down here in verse 9, it says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Now, this is important. He that covereth a transgression. It doesn't mean sweep under the carpet. It means this transgression has happened. It should have been dealt with, right? So we're going to say, okay, the transgression happened. It was dealt with, right? If it hasn't been dealt with, it must be dealt with. It must be brought to the open and dealt with. That's what God did with our sins, right? He brought our sins to the surface and he legally dealt with it in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus had to die for there to be a legally satisfying action, judgment on our sin. And it was satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we know that. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Okay, so the transgression has been dealt with. What are you bringing it up for? Are you going to rejoice in the calamity? Is that what it's all about? You want to keep bringing up people's faults that they've done in the past? Sins that they've committed? Sins that have been confessed? Sins that have been taken care of? You want to keep bringing this up? For what reason? He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. That's right. That's what people can do. People who want to destroy a movement will do this. Any person, any human being on this planet has committed sins. The only exception to that is the person of Jesus Christ. Anyone else, they have sinned. They will have problems in their past. And we can see many leaders that come to a position. And if you were to look in the closet, you'll find things going on there. You'll find problems. But the devil will want to use you to destroy a good movement by bringing up things from the past, which have no place to be brought up. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Verse 10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man. Reproof. And I think about this. I think a lot of my past and reproofs that I've had in the past entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You know? A fool can get a lot of punishment. It doesn't seem to make any difference. They don't take reproof. But reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Strife, you see, this is all about having contentment, having forbearance, having a good spirit. There are things that will come into our lives to destroy it. And our own old man can be raised up to destroy the peace of our own household. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man, rather than a fool in his folly. Boy, isn't this true? Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man. Gulp. Not good. You've seen how big these bears can get? I saw a movie on YouTube of one of these grizzly bears. The thing was just absolutely massive. I've just never realized how huge these bears can get. And I would imagine that even if you had a gun, if you didn't have a powerful enough gun, it's not going to probably make too much difference on these things, unless you get it in exactly the right spot, which is probably unlikely when you're all nervous and you just go shoot, 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 shoot. You're probably going to, you know, just get him more angry. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man. Yeah. Rather than a fool in his folly. Yeah, that's right. It shows you how terrible it is to experience the foolishness of people and to have fools in places of prominence. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Yeah, that's a way of rewarding evil, and it's just going to flourish, isn't it? That's what's going to happen. And remember, this is all about contentment in the house. It's good to see this, good to understand this. Then in verse 14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. I can remember some experiences I've had with water. Have you ever had to change the heaters in your hot water cylinder, right? Heating elements. And now we've got 50 gallon and there's two heaters in there. And what happens is because we've got hard water, the heating elements basically produce sludge on the bottom. And so at the bottom is where the tap is that you can let the water out. Well, it gets clogged up. So you turn the thing, it doesn't come out. So what are you going to do then? Well, you do your best, right? And so you wait around for it to slowly come out, and then you run out of patience. So then you pull out the top plug, and then it starts pouring out the top, right? And you think, I think it's gone below. You tap it. I think it's gone below that level. So I'll take the first heater out, and a little bit of water comes out. Oh, that's just a little bit of water. And then all of a sudden, a gush! You know, it just starts gushing, right? So the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Just a little break, and then the whole thing goes. It's the way of water and dams, right? If you see a well-made dam, what do you notice about it? It has a beginning that goes way back, and then it slowly comes up to the head. And the reason for that is that so it gives a lot of strength. If you don't get that, then a little bit of water just breaking through over the top, suddenly it becomes a torrent. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. And that's what can happen. People allow this stuff to happen, and before long, there's a whole lot of strife in the household. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Right on the money, man. You say, this is all obvious. No, it's not obvious. Because look how much is going on today. If it's obvious, how come it's going on? People say, oh, the Bible doesn't, it's not needed. It's all obvious. It's not obvious. Because we see this kind of mistake going on over and over again. And in within the family, we need this repeated. We need to read this at the table. When we meet together for meals, we need to hear these truths. Well, I'm not going to keep going on with this because we're going to run out of time this morning. But you need to read all the way through. Look what it says in verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So true, man. You got understanding? Boy, doesn't that change your spirit? That happened to me when I started to understand something of right division. I tell you the truth, man. Before then, I was really upset about the scriptures and what they meant and what am I supposed to do? And is the Bible really the Word of God? If it doesn't make sense, is it really the Word of God? It was when I began to understand the life-changing ministry, prison ministry of the Apostle Paul, that brought this to me. As a Christian, I was saved. But man, my life was in turmoil. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. My spirit started to get calmed. I started to gain something of an excellent spirit when I got to understand the Word of God rightly divided. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. This is the point, isn't it? Be careful with your words. If you want to maintain peace and contentment, be careful with your words. Understand before you open the mouth. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this message today, all the truths that are in here. And Lord, we ask You to bless each one as we go our way this week. And we thank Thee for this time when we remember the coming of Christ and the great difference it's made in the world and in our own personal lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.